This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at, in the U.S. and around the world. This is Baseball Outside the Box. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. We got a special edition. Hey, it's a day before New Year's Eve, so we have a great show for you. We're bringing three top baseball coaches. These guys have been around. Bill Sandillo, Zach Casto, which I always call Castro, but it's not. It's Casto and Mike Mandarino. Now, you might think that, you know, Caliendo, Mandarino, Sandillo, you know, those are all Italian names, and you're thinking Casto, he must be Italian too. Well, we're going to find out because we're going to have him take a test, and we will test back to you. But we have, these are the, hey, folks, thanks for joining us in the U.S. and around the world. Do us a favor before we start. Go to YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, Peter Caliendo, right now. Exactly, if you might be watching it live on YouTube, but this is a special edition. We just threw it on right away. No script, no idea what we're going to talk about. We're also going to be live on Facebook, and our podcast audio goes at baseballoutsidethebox.com. Don't forget to subscribe there. Hope you all had a great Christmas, and I'm wishing everybody a great, great 2021. I know we all need it, and I got a feeling it's going to be a gangbuster. So let me introduce our coaches. And why is it a special edition? Because one, we got something important we want to talk about. But before we do that, these are the three coaches that are going to go on the Caliendo Sports International Baseball Trip in July, August, this summer. Yes, you heard it here. Baseball trip to Italy, one of the best countries in the world, one of the most beautiful when it comes to cultural, when it comes to everything, food, romance, you name it. And yes, they play baseball for over 100 years. And two of the coaches that we have on staff coached in Italy, Bill Sandillo coached in Rovigo, and Mike Mandarino coached in Verona. So we got guys with coaching experience in Italy. It's going to be a great trip. We're starting the recruiting process right now. We're looking for 14, 15-year-olds that want to have this unbelievable experience. We're going to talk about the experience briefly, and we will then take your email. All you got to do is email us at caliendo19@gmail. Email us if you're interested, and we will get you all the information about the trip. So right away, let me just introduce the coaches. Mr. Sandillo, who coached in Rovigo. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Peter. How you doing, buddy? Good to be here. Looking forward to that trip too, man. I'm looking forward to going back to Italy and spending time with you guys. So it's going to be fun.
Since you're the first one I hit, tell us a little bit about Italian baseball, what you like about it.
You know, obviously the experience was amazing. I have family over there. The culture is different, you know, everything over there. The one thing I noticed about Italy is that they are living in history. We're very spoiled here in the United States. We're 400 years old. Italy's 4,000 years old. So they don't realize how much they're living in history. It doesn't matter what street you go on. There's a ruin everywhere. And there's history everywhere. They love baseball. They love their sports over there. The Italians are crazy for their sports. And then when you get the diehard Italian baseball fan, they are diehard for baseball. And they just want more knowledge. And they want people like us going over there and just teaching them the game and spreading what we know over there so they can continue to learn. So it's good stuff.
And I think you said it right, Bill. I mean, they have a passion for the game. That's what's fun to watch them there. You know, they don't have a lot of money, a lot of the clubs, you know, but man, they figure out how to do it and get it done, and they work hard. They get everybody in the community involved, you know, whether it's, you know, building a field or making a dugout, whatever it may be, right? Getting a scoreboard.
Hey, Mike. Well, every one of those small towns, they have an academy. I think it's really good that they're passing on that knowledge of the love of the game to the youth that want to play baseball over there. So, you know, obviously soccer is their number one sport and they can play at any time. But when you get people playing baseball and every single community over there has a team, has an academy, I think it's pretty cool. I think what they do over there is really cool to promote the game.
Agree 100%, man. Hey, by the way, folks, Bill Sandillo, coach of the Cape Cod League, 29 years he's had his academy in Arizona. Unbelievable. You can do anything in 29 years. You've done the right things. Mike, I want to jump to you because I want to, you know, you coached in Verona 8-2 and just kind of give a little idea of, you know, what your first time in Italy, you know, coaching a club team, you know, maybe not known as much by the time baseball at the time. You did it twice, I think. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, originally going over to Verona, I was part of basically their club, which was called Dinos. And they had, you know, basically age group of 7 on up. So what happened was I ended up coaching 2 or 3 teams over there. I ended up coaching a team that was probably similar to like a JUCO, which was like a Series C team. And then the A2 was part of their, you know, semi-pro, I would say, type of a team. And then then I coached a high school age team as well. So, when I first got there, I coached what they called the cadettis, which were the younger kids. I had a lot of responsibilities. So they kind of took that one away from me eventually, but it was outstanding. What an experience. Like you said, you know, going on this trip, we've talked about the fact that there might be the opportunity to have the parties with the teams afterwards and the towns afterwards. And that's what we did after every game. Always had a little meal, no matter how late it was, 9, 10 o'clock in the evening, we'd have a meal over there in the tent, you know, there in Verona with all the families. And it was just a great experience to be around such camaraderie, I guess. The teams were close, the families were close, and the townspeople that supported them were close. So like Bill said, they're hungry. You know, they're hungry for instruction. They're hungry for people to come over. I coached actually with several Cuban coaches. There were several Cubans that were over there coaching as well in some of the other towns. So they're definitely hungry for, like, soccer is their number one, but definitely baseball is right up there.
Yeah, Rovigo, matter of fact, also another club, good friends of ours, I mean, great friends. They've been treated us so good every time we go there. You know, they've had Cuban coaches. I know Padua is a great club. They just have a lot of great people. Michael, you're you know, you coached collegiately, you coached in high school. You know, what, you know, as far as the experience when it comes to this type of trip for athletes out there, you know, what is it? What do you think they get out of it?
You know, I mean, so much. I mean, I can't even start. I mean, they're you know, they're getting the cultural experience of Italy. And like Bill said, I mean, history at every street. The things that we're going to see on this trip are absolutely go-to things to see when you're in Italy. But there's so much more, obviously. But they're going to get the cultural experience. They're going to get the camaraderie of just their teammates coming over from the U.S., and then playing against the guys in Italy and just to be able to see everything over there and get a history lesson. It's irreplaceable. It's amazing. We were talking a little bit earlier off camera about going to the Vatican. I went to the Vatican in 2000, which was a Jubilee year. And you walk in there and your jaw just drops. The detail of everything, the statues. I mean, it's just amazing. Unbelievable. Just once in a lifetime trip, like you said, Peter.
Absolutely. And folks, just so you know, we just had about an hour and 15 minute meeting prior to this talking about the trip, all the details behind it, you know, because everybody knows that's been on a trip. The most important thing for us with Caliendo Sports International is making sure we got top level coaches on the trip, because it's all about education. Not just the cultural part, but it's education when it comes to the game. So we got great coaches on this trip. And I want to jump to another one, Zach Casto. This is the man behind all the, you know, Twitter, social media notes. He takes notes every day. I don't even know. I don't think he has a job, because I don't know how he does this, but he does have a job. He's a high school coach, high school teacher, special ed teacher. Also gives me great advice on a lot of things that I'm not aware of. And I really appreciate that. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Pete. It's great to be on your show, and also great to be on this trip. I'm very excited for this.
All right. So you don't know anything about the trip. You haven't been overseas, and folks, he hasn't flown yet overseas. So he's going to sit next to, I don't know, Sandillo, maybe. We'll flip coins. He's not sitting next to me. I know that, if he's never flown before. You've never gone overseas. Am I correct? Correct. A good perspective. What do you, you know, as a teacher teaching kids, you heard some of the things that these guys were talking about. What do you think? What else can young kids get out of a trip like this? Not just kids, but parents, also coaches, maybe yourself not being there for the first time. You know, what do you think you can get out of it?
I think perspective is a big thing. I think kids, especially teaching them, there's this, sometimes there's an attitude of, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side or and whatnot. But, you know, it, and sometimes there's maybe a cultural thing of where you might think where you're superior or whatever. But the cool thing that kind of came out of hearing Bill and Mike is with this trip is it sounds like it's a celebration of not only this, the great game of baseball, but also life and family. And those are, you know, life and family, man. You know, life is just from my experience, I lost my mom in March. And just understanding that life is very fleeting. So being able to have this opportunity, I'm super thankful for this opportunity, but to also be able to grow the game in Italy and gain perspective on life and to celebrate family and everything that's special that comes with family there. And you know, coaching baseball is a brotherhood as well. I mean, maybe we're family in that way too. So I'm really excited to celebrate life, family, and celebrate the great game of baseball because, man, it saved me from my lowest point of losing mom last year in March. I mean, that was right at the start of the pandemic here in the United States too. So, you know, the reason why I was like a madman taking all those notes is kind of a mechanism for me to get my mind off some things. But not just me. I mean, I love baseball. It's I could talk baseball and I could talk history all the time. And it sounds like with this Italy trip, I'll get to hear a lot of history. So we'll be excited for that.
We know what Zach's going to be doing now. He's got you got all the tours. So you can be the tour guide. We'll see
you that way, right? That's right.
You like history. That's right. He put you to work with no problem. Folks, he mentioned family. If you've been to Italy, the Italians are big on family still today. Very family oriented. So I think that's just a great thing. I think something that I'll enjoy and I always do is watching the coaches operate and also talking to the players. Cause during the trip, you know, we'll have meetings in the morning, afternoon on the bus, but we include the parents on all the meetings. And that's every baseball meeting. We're not hiding anything because I think education needs to be for all as a group. I think that's important. So I like it because man, I'm always learning something from different coaches, you know, so it's something important to us. Hey, speaking about learning, let me jump to Bill because we'll end it. I want to end it kind of with this, with coaches around the world, because I continue to have podcasts on this. And I think it's so important. When it comes to, I hear this all the time. This is the reason I bring this up. When I bring up the topic about practice organization or organizing a practice or call it whatever you like, because I know people are changing names to make it sound better. I keep hearing this term, you got to have fun doing it, right? And that's great, but I sure love to know what that means because the fun, there's so many ways you can have fun. And when do you have fun? And when you not have fun, I mean, how does this all work? So that way you maximize the player's ability to get better during that practice. What do you think is something that you have to do a lot of? If you don't do it, it kind of takes away from the learning process.
Hey, listen, you got to have fun playing this game because as we know in the United States, kids fall off at 15 because of their interests. They have other things to do, right? I think at a young age, 9 to 12, you got to make it fun. You can't make it all about all the rules and how to play the game at the highest level. You got to just let them get out there, run, jump, throw, catch. And you can't just hammer them on fundamentals, right? But you got to make the practices interesting enough where they can learn the game. And that's sometimes when we're doing our practices here, at least in Arizona, it's more of a clinic. It's station to station work. It's basically learning something at every station. And then when we group our guys up at the end, it's more or less, hey, what'd you learn here? What'd you learn there? What are you going to do tomorrow? And then we love to get that feedback because we know we're going to get a ton of questions. And we know we're going to get a ton of feedback from that type of atmosphere. And then obviously, I always tell people, right, when you play a game, you're showcasing what you know and you're showcasing what you don't know. So keep learning the game, keep having fun with the game, and the game will always treat you right. It really will. And you'll have a ton of fun doing it. But the great thing is, especially in Italy, and what I found in Italy is that they like to pass it down. And what they know, they'll pass it down. If you got a kid who's pretty good, they want to know what he's doing and they want to pass that information down. And that's what I saw a lot of it when I was coaching in Padua, was the younger kids would come to the games. They loved seeing the older guys play, but the older guys interacted with the young kids. And it was great because they could pass down that knowledge, because those are the next group of A1 players going into the Italian Baseball League. So, and that's why I love it, because every team, every community has an academy. And those, that's the next wave of Italian baseball coming up. So that's very cool.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to be taking 14, 15-year-olds. That doesn't mean if you're 13 and you're a stud, I mean, you're really good, that you can play up, that we won't take a 13-year-old. It just depends. But then at the same time, we're also going to include 16-year-olds, because, you know, that's that high school age. You've got high school kids that are 15, 16 to play together. Sometimes you have a freshman who goes up on varsity. That can happen too. Mike, question for you. As Bill was talking about fundamentals, there's a fine line between, you know, hammering the fundamentals and having fun at the same time. Because, you know, if you hammer the fundamentals too much, that's not going to be too much fun either, especially for the real young kids. But if you don't, kind of go with the fundamentals, then how are you going to get better if you're just sticking about fun things? So where's that? How do you balance that?
Yeah, I think the most important part of that is just like Bill said, if you keep moving, keep things moving, but make sure that you're including fundamentals and game situations. I think Zach posted something the other day about 27 outs or doing the 27 outs. So we did that all the time, especially when I was in Italy with those younger groups, did 27 outs with situations, always kept their head in it, always kept them thinking about what's going on and translating what you're doing in practice into a game type situation and just having a good time doing that. But then, hey, you know, at the very end, throw in some sort of a BP contest or a throwing contest or something like that, where, you know, Pete, we always did it at the Mickey Owen Baseball School. We always did some sort of a contest of some sort for them. So teach them how to compete. So I think those are important, but keep things moving. I think Augie Garrido was the one I've studied with his practices. Everybody was doing something all the time in his practices, right? So that's the important part of it, you know, keeping it fun, but also hammering in those situations, putting that mental piece in there and making them think about the game while they're practicing.
Yeah, I remember when you brought that back, I remember being in Mickey Owen Baseball School, you know, 27 outs used to be called Itchy Jones.
Yes,
that was a game he had brought up at that time, you know.
Yes,
and the game was at that time we used to just throw the ball up and hit it anywhere we want, and we played 27 outs, you know, on the defense. And there's so much to learn from that. That's why I think it's good, because, you know, the ball's hit all the time, right? We're not waiting for a pitcher to throw a strike because the guy's hitting the ball right away. You got a lot of defense, offense going on. And speaking about that, Zach, you know, when it comes to those fundamental to the practice organization. One of the things that is not that easy to really know, we talk about fun, we talk about fundamentals, we talk about constantly moving, but then when they're within stations, especially, we have to be a little careful also how long they're doing something for. You know, if they're doing a particular drill, you know, how many times do I swing the bat? How many ground balls do I take? Whatever it may be. Some advice there or anything else you want to throw in?
I think it comes down to knowing your guys, right? At Nitro, for example, we'll have some individual defensive periods. So, you know, sometimes that's 20 minutes, sometimes that's 30 minutes. So, you know, I always want to keep my guys moving. So typically I'll take a coach with me from my outfield guys. And so we'll split them up into two groups. One group will be with me working on just catching fly balls and just getting by, or getting behind fly balls, just getting those fundamentals down. And the other group will be working on catching ground balls and proper fundamentals there. So for example, we'll focus on that for 10 minutes. So give one group 5 minutes, another group 5 minutes, and switch them. And then we'll work on a specific aspect that I wanted to cover for outfield play for, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes, and then go into just a whole group kind of randomized practice to where they're working on getting ground balls, fly balls, and probably getting some throwing into, you know, having a guy come in and be the cutoff man and whatnot. if their arms are sore, then they're just going to square up to me. Usually I have a pitching machine that throws fly balls and ground balls at them. But kind of my long-winded answer here is I know your guys, but again, keep them moving. You know, use station work, but don't do it for too long because attention spans are very, very short. But again, you know, you don't want to be in stations for 20 minutes because, you know, the novelty and the challenge may get out of that. So 5 minutes seems to be about right. Switch them, and you can always take them back to that station for 5 minutes.
You know, and key phrase, know your players. You know, coaches in the U.S. around the world, any level, doesn't matter what level, when they say know your players, because remember, you may be working with 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, so you got to know those kids and know what's best for them. Now you're getting to high school and you got another age group, so you just can't teach everybody the same. So I think that's important that you brought that up. Hey, listen, I want to go around the horn. I'll tell you why, because you know what happens during this. As, you know, Mike's talking, Zach's now came up with an idea because he heard Mike say something. The same thing with Bill. So you got something on your mind that you want to say. So I'm going to go around the horn. If you, whatever it is that you thought that was in your mind while somebody was talking, bring it up. I think that'd be great. Whatever it may be, Bill, let's start with you. You had to be thinking about something when these guys were talking, right?
No, listen, I think about the organization, right? I think about when you're getting into a practice, like Zach said, know your guys, right? Keep everything short and sweet, but you got to have a presentation and you got to have a wrap up. And as long as you're doing that, then you can always take something out of what you're doing.
Awesome. Mike, what were you thinking?
Yeah, I agree. And also I would say that, you know, when you're always be communicating during the whole practice, always communicate during the whole practice, giving feedback, but making sure they're comprehending more than anything, you know, and making it simple to where they're comprehending what you're talking about, and always give feedback and build them up. And as we know, it's a tough game. So we need to build them up as much as we can, especially in practice.
You know, hey, Zach, I've always said on the show, I think I repeated 1,000 times. I know, you know, when I was coaching, especially young kids, you know, and teaching coaches, you know, especially the volunteer coaches, you know, the one thing I always told them, and it's so basic, but it's so hard to really do. And that is, you know, when you start practice, you've got to be excited. And when you end practice, you got to finish excited. I mean, it's that hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it may be. It could be 5 hours. I don't know. But whatever it may be, you better be excited from start to finish, and you better be exhausted when you're done, because, you know, it takes work to get kids motivated and keep them rolling. So, I mean, am I going off on that? Am I too much motivation, or do I need to back off a little bit?
A lot of the best coaches in the world are their authentic self. So if that is your authentic self, then be it. But to piggyback on what you said there is, you know, you need to be excited. You need to be the role model to what culture environment you want. That's essentially what would be my answer. But to kind of piggyback on what Bill and Mike said, you know, as Bill said, teach them, right? You teach the options that they have to work on, and give them time to practice those options. And then, as Mike said, ask them afterwards what they comprehended, what they took away. And something that I always do is after a period of practice, I'll get my notes out and write down what I thought and write down what the players thought, and kind of mesh together both of those ideas to create an environment and plan the next day. So, and my last thought here is I'm really excited to work with you all, because I'm going to learn a lot and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I agree with you, man. It's going to be an awesome trip. You know, the other thing I was thinking, Bill, is something that's changed. I think more coaches are doing it now than we actually did when I was younger. Not that we didn't do it, but we just maybe didn't do it enough. And that's what I'm seeing in some of the players I watch play out there as I go to parks or games and everything. And that's what Mike talked about. And that is game situations, you know, making everything as realistic as possible, because sometimes, you know, it's great. And I was a great practice player, right? Billy Williams here in Chicago, working with him in the batting cages. Say, you got one of the greatest swings I've ever seen, right? Well, great, I couldn't hit. So what does that do? You know, because I couldn't adjust to the situation. So how important, I mean, isn't that so important now that we really stress? But yet be careful, because if we're only doing that and we're not ready for it, can we just always put game situations in there?
You know, I adhere to this thing, you know, the triangle that we always talk about, the practicing, playing, and training triangle, right? And you, I think you have to spend time in each segment, right? But when you get to the playing part, that's the showcase part of it. And that's where you really got to have everything polished. But you got to have it polished before there, right? Now, I'm a huge strategist. In the last 5 years, you know, with the new metrics that have come out, as long as I've been in this game, there's always something new coming down the road, right? And I love that. And I think what I'm doing with my guys now is telling them, you guys got to be critical thinkers. You got to play the what if game. So if you're playing in a game and you play the what if game, what if the balls hit to you? What if? What do you do? You got to think a play or two ahead. And that's why I love metrics. I love defense. I love what's going on in today's game. Why is the shifts? Why are people shifting? Well, because they're doing more and more exploration on what the hitter's weaknesses are. I love that. I love that because pitchers, now you're doing your homework. Now you're saying, okay, I got this saying, one of my pitchers, and I got a great little story. One of my guys gave up a grand slam on a walk-off grand slam, and he was just distraught. And I said to him prior to that, I said, hey, you can give up this grand slam. And this was really a teaching moment for next time, was you can give up four runs, you can give up one run. And this is about matchups. So the game is about matchups. Who would you rather pitch to? So he thought he could get this guy. He clearly couldn't. He was overmatched. But he figured it out, and that's a teaching moment. And so he said, you're right, coach. I probably shouldn't have thrown that fastball to that guy. But you got to start critical thinking. Even at the age 12 all the way up, like I said, at 15, it starts dropping off. If you're not there mentally already, you're going to drop off. I think the game, what makes the game so boring is that we leave out the critical thinking part of it. And when we get onto the field, it just becomes boring to us unless we're in that mindset. And that's what I love about the game.
You know, and that's a great point, because the other thing I was thinking about was in practice, we've got to teach kids. And Mike, I want to ask you about this, what you do or how you do it. And there's many ways possibly to do this.
Yeah. But, you know,
I had a tough time, and I'm a great example of it. I couldn't deal with failure when I was young. You know, and maybe did I not practice it? Because, you know, if I'm going to be dealing with failure in a game, don't I have to be prepared? So are we practicing how to deal with failure, in, I guess, is my question, in practice?
I'm sure a lot of great coaches are. You know, the one good example I always heard was that you don't always have to end on a good one when you're taking BP. You know, he goes, hey, end on a good one, end on a good one. Well, every once in a while, end on a bad one. You know, that's failure. How are you going to come up? Now you got the next round. How are you going to come up? How are you, again, how is your mind going to handle the next round of BP because you ended on a bad one? Are you going to come up mad again, you know, because you ended on a bad one, or are you ready to go again? Are you have a different mindset? Have you changed it? Because we know, you know, it's, every time you fail, you got to flush it. You got to move on. It's, you're just as good as the next pitch. So I think a lot of great coaches are, I just think that that's one good way to do it, is to always, you know, every once in a while, if you're ending on a bad one on BP, you end on a bad one. That's the way it is.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, Zach, I remember BP. I always thought, well, you know, sometimes why are we even taking BP? Because, you know, what happens is a guy gets pissed off, right? He had a bad round. And now he's going into the dugout or into the clubhouse, you know, upset that he had a bad round. But that's a great point, understanding how to deal with that. So what's some other things you could do, Zach, in practice to deal with failure? Some practices that we can kind of work on.
Well, I think you can't have mental practice until your players own their mistakes. And the reason why I say that is all pouting is and throwing helmets and all that, it's frustration, but it's not owning the performance. So until the players own that performance, I don't think they will get completely the whole mental game experience. But you could have hitting, like, for example, you could have hitting stations to where they work on you know, their routine for flushing a bad swing or swinging a bad pitch. You could do that for defense, you could do that for pitching. You know, there's so much you can do. You know, the red, yellow, and green light routines. I mean, you could have one, you know, on Monday, you can have them work on their green light routines. So essentially what a green light routine is if, you know, you're under control of your emotions, you just kind of take a deep breath, plan and compete and try to win that next pitch. A yellow light is where you're kind of feeling like you got some anxiety or frustration. Of course, a red light means that you have lost total control. So, again, there's limitless options on how to practice. The minimum we have to do is be role models to teach it and to help our guys own their performance.
Yeah, and that's another great point. And there's so many great points, to obviously, into when it, you know, it comes to running a practice. You just brought up the breathing aspect. That's a whole different ballgame in itself. I mean, I think we need to do more of that, because breathing's part of dealing with failure. But again, I can't tell somebody to do that in a game. That's not, doesn't work that way. You need to practice it, and then it carries into the game, I would think, more than anything. Now, I'm going to throw y'all a curveball, and we can jump back into anything on practice organization, but I'm going to throw you a curveball, because in Caliendo Sports International, the trips, we don't practice, okay? Why don't we practice, folks? Well, because it costs more money and the trips are not cheap. So if we now add three more days to practice, there's more to it. But, and our kids come from, can come from anywhere in the U.S. Sometimes they come from other countries and joined us also. But now, Bill, I'm going to jump with you, and it's a little bit of a curveball, because, you know, the question is, you know, even a parent might ask it. Well, we don't practice. How are these kids going to play together? You know, them not. We may have a morning practice for 2 hours, let's say, when we get there, but that's it, if we're lucky. Now we got to play a game that day. Well, you know, how's that going to happen? Because, you know, kids got to practice all the time in order to play the game. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't think they have to practice all the time. I think they get enough practice. I think they have to understand. To me, everything is about mindset. And I love how we're talking about the game of failure, right? This is baseball. In any, this is the only sport that has a number after everything you do. OPS, doubles, triples, 3 out of 10, you're an all-star, you hit 300, you failed 70% of the time. It's the only profession where you can fail and be great at it, right? And I think for me, for my younger guys, I make them understand the failure part of it so that it doesn't become drastic when they do fail. Because next at bat, you could be the GOAT. I had a kid come up to me and say, "Coach, I don't have it today. I struck out 3 times. Well, guess what? You're leading off the game next game. Why? Because you're one closer. You're one step closer from getting a hit. The odds are you getting a hit is you're one step closer. So I have confidence in you. You have to have confidence in you, right? Because it isn't about what you're doing right now. It's about long-term development. And we talk about this with our kids, right? I don't care what you're doing today. I do care what you're going to do 3 years from now, though, because of the work ethic you're learning today is going to help you 3 years from now. So yeah, if that's the curveball I love to throw out there with all my guys, is that we're preaching long-term development. So let's learn to fail. Don't put a number after everything, right? I'm not going to judge you for everything you make, every move you make. So don't judge yourself.
You know, you brought up a great point. Folks, you heard that. And put that in your notes, because long-term development, why are we talking about, why did we bring that up? All the coaches understand it. We're bringing it up because, you know, as coaches, yes, we want to win games just like the kids do. Everybody wants to win. Nobody goes to a ball game and says, "Oh, I hope to lose today. It'll be a lot of fun." No, they all want to go to win. But the goal is to keep them in the game as long as possible. So if we are able to motivate them, keep them positive, understand how to deal with the failures, all the things that coaches are talking about, the kids will play the game longer. They'll even play longer than what Bill just said, that they're going to quit at 15 because of other reasons. Why will they stay longer? Because they love the game. So they're going to keep playing after high school, maybe, you know, college, maybe pro ball, maybe independent ball. There's so many opportunities. Maybe they'll go overseas to Italy and play like a lot of other guys did and get a career out of it. And all of a sudden they're coaching in Italy or another country. There's so many opportunities. So long-term development is really what we're trying to accomplish. Now,
yes,
that curveball I threw Bill, the reason I brought it up was because folks that are listening, if you're thinking about joining us on a trip, you know, obviously we're going to do our homework. We're going to find out the background, the player, the parents. We want to make sure we take quality character players and parents overseas on the trip. And you're thinking to yourself, no practice. I actually like that there's no practice. So you're going to think I'm nuts. The reason I like no practice, because, you know, what does a player now have to do, Mike? Players got to think on their own. They got to communicate. They got to talk, right?
Absolutely. Keep taking it from there. Absolutely. Yeah, the communication, playing with a new teammate or someone you haven't played with, especially middle infield or a catcher pitcher. Yeah, you've got to communicate. You got to talk. You got to learn who each other is as a player, as a person, more importantly. And as Bill brought up earlier, that critical thinking part I think that's probably what's missing in education overall in education anymore. And especially baseball education. So I'm with you though, Pete. I actually was more of that, you know, let's go play games every day. Practice drove me crazy. It's, you know, you have to do it, but I agree. But yeah, absolutely. You're learning each other. You're learning each other's strengths, obviously, and what their weaknesses are and what they can do. And that's what's the great part of baseball is. Absolutely. No question.
And for our listeners, think about it. You know, kids nowadays, you know, they get in a situation and they don't know the sign. Well, they got to ask somebody, right? Now they're talking to one of the players, and communication is so important. I listened to Ronnie Sanko talk on the ABCA podcast. And one of the things that they do with the Dodgers, which, you know, I'm finding it, and Ryan played for me, but I'm finding it kind of funny because they're doing it now with the Dodgers. Not that we were brilliant, but we were doing it a long time ago. And that is teaching kids how to communicate, how to speak. I mean, they're doing this with their young Dodger players. You got to be able to talk to people. So you're practicing how to do this. Well, now you got no choice because you're going to be on a trip with guys you don't know. And what are you going to do? You know, what happens if there's a man on first and second, right? And there's a bunt situation. The Italians might bunt. Well, the coaches may not be able to tell you everything in that splits 12 seconds. You're going to have to communicate with your own kids. So, Zach, you've got the advantage here because you listen to all of us talk now. You put it in your head, and now you get to say something that we haven't said, right? So go ahead.
Well, really, you know, I've been thinking about what you all have said. And, you know, it's kind of thinking from my perspective when I played, just looking back, what do I appreciate the most out of it? And to me, it was just the life skills learned. And that's really what they're going to learn with just playing from this. Because like we've said, they have to communicate. They have to be self-aware of what they need to work on. And you know, the mental game is going to be prevalent, obviously, with us, because, you know, you can either have two decisions. You can play poorly and just let it affect the rest of your day and have an awful trip, which would be a bad thing because it's a once in a lifetime experience. Or you can have an open mind, learn what you need to work on, enjoy the game, enjoy the life skills, and also enjoy the trip. So you can either be an energy vampire or an energy giver. And the option, the correct option is to be an energy giver because you'll remember this trip and you'll appreciate the opportunities from it.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, when you come back, you might just get on your knees and kiss the ground because, you know, what? And I tell you what, you know, and this is no disrespect to any country in the world because there's some great countries, but you know, we are lucky in the U.S. I mean, we've got so many opportunities, so many things that other countries don't have that, you know, that's the other thing that kids and parents even get out of this is they go on a trip like this and they realize how lucky they are to live in a country like the U.S. And again, that's not downgrading any other country. Everybody has their own cultures, their own experiences. But, you know, I'm very lucky to live here. And I think, you know, the other thing that I see on the trip, we try to teach a lot of. And sometimes I see some bad habits. We all have them, but you know, these are quick trips. You know, in the morning we have breakfast and breakfast mandatory for our players. Why? Because, and I'll let Bill speak on this. Nutrition's so important. And if you can't eat in Italy, you can't eat anywhere in the world. Okay. It's some of the best food in the world. So if you can't eat there, we got problems and we've never had those problems. But the other part is getting plenty of sleep because of the time change, getting sleep because, you know, we got breakfast, we tour. So we're going to see the beautiful sights of Italy in certain cities, then all of a sudden we're going to play a game. You know, we're not even going back to the hotel. We're going to change at the stadium or at the field. Then you got to play a game. Then you know, during that time you're having lunch, right? While you're sightseeing. So be careful what you eat. Then all of a sudden from there, we're jumping to the game. Then all of a sudden we're back to the hotel 8, 9 at night, you know, for dinner, or we may even be at the field eating with the other team. We don't get back till 10 at night. And now it starts all over next morning. If you don't get your sleep, Bill, you don't get the proper nutrition, the enough water in your system, we got problems sometimes when it comes to performance.
Yeah, listen, out here in Arizona, we know this firsthand, right? We can play year-round out here, and it's 115 sometimes in the summer. We still play. And that's the thing the kids understand is that they got to take care of their bodies. They got to take care of their mind. and get ready for the next day. Now, let me say something too about playing with other people. You know, the great thing about playing in travel teams is that when you leave your junior high team and go on to your high school team, especially out here, we have 7 high schools in the 5-mile radius. You might not be playing with the same guys. When you leave one travel team and get to another higher up, you're not going to play with the same guys. It's like that at every level. So when you leave your high school team, you'll never play with those guys again. You'll go on to your college team if you're lucky. And then if you're really lucky and you go into the pros, you'll play with guys you never met there either. So are you prepared mentally, physically, whatever? And I think the good kids get it. And I think the parents get it too. So they have to get plenty of sleep. They have to eat right. And it's about taking care of themselves again for that long-term thing, right? The good guys, you got that reverse funnel at the top. What I've noticed in baseball is you got that reverse funnel. On the way up, it gets thinner. And that's why kids drop off, is because the talent level drops and the interest drops. But if the guys that want to get to the top, they're going to do all the right things. They're going to get their rest. They're going to eat right. They're going to do what people do to get to the top. And that's what I love about that too, right? I got kids in my organization that just want to get their education paid for. They know they're not going to play professional, but if they can go to college and get an education and get it paid for, now their parents love that too. But you got to do the right things leading up to that. And that's that cycle you just talked about, eating right, getting plenty of rest, not going out and fooling around with your friends till 11 o'clock at night, but getting in, knowing what you got the next day. And that's the way it goes.
You know, it's interesting. The other part is, you know, I'm not sure. And this is really to the parents to understand when they go on a trip like this, you know, we're trying to create good habits. And it's funny because we'll get kids that sometimes have gone on their own, because we have kids also might come on a trip on their own, and they're supervised the whole time. You know, we never let them go anywhere on their own. And then they go back home and the parents will say, man, they're making their beds or they're doing this right. Why? Because we've tried to create that habit. Now, this doesn't mean 8-9 days, you're always going to get a good habit. It takes more, sometimes longer than that. Mike, one of the things, speaking about that, is we don't, you know, as coaches, we've only got them 8-9 days, right? And this beautiful trip, you know, we're not here to teach, to try to change their fundamentals. A lot of these kids have coaches back home. We might give them suggestions, give them advice, but really it's about, like we were just talking about, the mental game, strategy, you know, how to think, you know, situations. It's all that stuff that we're going to be teaching the kids, right?
Yeah. Just not only maybe general knowledge of the game, but with the experience that you have here with the coaches that are going, I mean, the different experiences that we've had and where we've coached. I've coached on the East Coast. I've coached on the West Coast, in the Midwest, you know, and you know, obviously these coaches have had some of the same experiences. So I think knowing that we've seen different types of players, that we've seen different types of, the West Coast is, you know, maybe a little bit more small ball versus other places, fundamental. But I think that's the great thing about it. You know, you're getting different experiences from different coaches and just general knowledge of the game and actually in-depth knowledge, because we've all got, we've all worked with, you know, players and other coaches that, are outstanding. So we've learned from both.
Yeah. And it's been awesome. Zach, close us off.
Guys, my excitement for this trip is through the roof. I will learn a lot from you guys. I know I learn a lot from Pete constantly. But man, I can't wait. I can't wait to be able to teach all aspects of baseball. And to apply what I've learned from you, what I will learn from you all, to the players. And it's going to be awesome.
Bill, if you had, and I'll close it off in a minute here, but if we had any advice for somebody thinking about taking this trip, you know, what advice would that be to help them kind of make that decision? And folks, we get it. And I'm going to say it. I said it. I'll say it to you personally. I've always said, make sure when you can afford it, don't put it on a credit card and get in debt heavily. You know, I don't want to be responsible for that. But I can tell you this. I know this. It's hard to articulate it, because till you've been on a trip like this, you really don't get the value of it. And all I'm saying is, if, Bill, this is what I would say to parents, and then you throw your own thing in here. And that is, if you can do it once in your lifetime, do it, because don't wait. In other words, do it within when you're young. Have your kids do it, because once you do it, it'll be the best experience. I still get emails and letters from guys that now are major league players. And when we talk about, you know, we catch up on something, the first thing they talk about is the trip they took overseas. We don't even bring it up. That's the first thing. Now they play in the big leagues and they talk about the trip they had in whatever country they went to with us. They're not talking about their experience in the big leagues. They're talking about that trip. So, I mean, that's why it's so hard to articulate, but maybe you can help me out articulate a little bit better.
Well, I think for me personally, being a stage 4 cancer survivor and living every single day to its fullest, I fulfilled my dream of going to Italy, where my father's from, where my family still is, to go over there and coach the game I love. And my father told me before he passed, don't wait to do something. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Do it now. And I think that's what I'm passing down to my kids. The greatest thing about these trips, especially the kids that are going on these trips, you know, it might be a once in a lifetime. Who knows? But you're going to play with people you never played with before or will never play with again. You're going to see things you've never seen before, only you've read about. My kids who are 12 and 13 right now, my own sons, they see things on TV when we talk about Italy and they go, oh my God, we were there. Who can say that? When you're 12 and 13 and they're sitting in their classroom and they're saying, what did you do on your summer break? And we went to Italy for 3 months. Nobody can say that. And that's one of the life experiences that I appreciate. And I'm going to always remember. And now that we're going back, I'm excited for these people because they have no idea what is over and what's in another part of the world. And that's the beauty, is we're going to be playing with people from another part of the world that you may not be playing with ever again. And they're going to love you coming over there and playing with them. And they may learn something from you. And that's the greatest thing of all, is the camaraderie. And we may be playing with kids all across the country. It's going to be that togetherness and that camaraderie that we're all going to share. And I'm excited to go back over there because I already know what's over there. I already know what we've done and how much they love the game and how much we can do that. But it's not just a once in a lifetime again for me. It's a twice in a lifetime. And maybe, who knows, maybe I can do it again and again, you know, but I'm not going to, I live every day for today. And that's what I want everybody to understand.
Great job. And, you know, I talked about it offline with you guys. You know, I've been to 20, 30, 40, I can't even count 40 times. And I get excited to go on a trip because there's always something different that happens. Yeah. And, you know, I love seeing the things like, which folks, this is going to happen, but don't worry, we'll take care of it. What will happen sometimes is normally our staff goes down early breakfast, you know, make sure everything's organized and all that. And, but sometimes, you know, we don't catch everything. And so, you know, they'll see cereal there and we try to Americanize it, but you get Italian food too, right? It's Italian breakfast. And all of a sudden, you know, the kid will get their cereal, one kid, and they put the milk in there, you know, and he'll get ready to eat it and he'll start to eat it and he'll stop because the milk's warm. They're used to warm milk, right? There's no kid in the U.S. that eats warm milk with their cereal. But it's just an experience, right? I mean, we'll connect it, but it's the culture. Or we tell them 100 times, so listen, you're not going to get a free refill because you think you're in the U.S., right? You're paying for a second refill. I said, it happens to be you're on your own and you're going to get a Coke, which you shouldn't be drinking because it's not good for you. You should be drinking something that's a little bit more healthy. But you think you're going to get a second refill, or you think you're going to get ice in your Coke. You never,
you know,
try finding ice, right? So we got to educate people. What's fun, Mike, is also when they get back, all the stories that they had in those 8 days, because it is a different culture. There's a lot of different
stories.
I'm sure you had stories coming back, right? After your first experience?
Oh, no question. I mean, I'll reiterate what Bill said. You know, you don't know. It may be a once in a lifetime thing. You may never be able to get to do it again. And I'll go back also to what you were saying, Pete, about, you know, don't go into debt or you want to go on this trip. But we also talked about the fact that there's an opportunity to fundraise. Mm-hmm. And my first trip overseas was when we were in junior college. We went to Australia and I fundraised that whole trip and then had an opportunity to go to France with MLB Envoy, you know, and then again to coach in Italy with Verona. So, yeah, the stories, the memories, you know, obviously I've got Polaroids, but nowadays everybody will have it on their camera, on their phone. But, you know, I still have pictures that I pull out all the time, or even go in and pull out some of the souvenirs or the things that people have given me from over there. And it's just, again, it's once in a lifetime opportunity, and, yeah. and you got to live for it. So,
yeah.
And you know what? The memories and the sometimes the friendships that they make, especially nowadays with social media, they stay in touch, you know, emails, texting, WhatsApp.
I'm sure Bill does. I'm sure I do. I stay in touch with all those guys from Verona. As a matter of fact, there was a kid that played. This is the funny story. There was a kid that played in Verona, a very good player. They wanted me to take him back with me to California. I didn't know if I was going back to California at the time, so I really couldn't tell them that I could. He ends up in Colorado playing. He went back, some coach from Colorado saw him. He ends up going to high school in Colorado. I was living in Denver at the time, so I run into him there, right? Then I go to the Coastal Plain League. He's playing in the Coastal Plain League out there in one of the teams in North Carolina. Then I'm in near Wichita, and he's playing for Creighton at Wichita State. I run into that kid like four or five times in the United States already. Wow. So, yeah, absolutely. It's you stay in touch with them.
Love it. Yeah, and the kids will make friends. I know they'll stay in touch also, because we've had kids over the years talk, you know, for 10 years. They've still been friends. Hey, Zach, I lied the first time, but this is the truth. We're closing the show, and you're going to have the last comment. Then I'm going to say bye to each guy. But look, hopefully you're not one of these kids. No, you're not a kid, Coach Casto, but hopefully you're not one of these guys that are finicky eaters. But if you were, let's say you're not, you said, shaking your head. Okay. Now, what are you going to tell our kids? Because, you know, we have to let them know, hey, we're going to have breakfast in the morning, dinner at night together. What are you going to tell them about? It might be different food. How do they handle it? Because, you know, some kids may do something they're not supposed to be doing correctly and waste food or whatever, you know. So what would you tell them?
Well, I think if we have a picky eater, I may go up to them and be like, hey, you know, I noticed that you're A, not getting enough to eat, and or B, you know, you need to make sure that your nutrition, like we said, nutrition, and make sure they get enough sleep and to also hydrate. So, for example, let's see a player who isn't doing the right things in that regard. I'd probably kind of go up and say, hey, you know, have you tried this yet? And, you know, yeah, no. And he said, well, if I try this out, would you try it out with me? So he tried out, and, you know, just, you know, let them try things out. And if they don't like it, they don't like it. But, hey, they learned something. And I think, you know, the learning experience alone for this trip is going to be awesome. Like you said, culturally, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a few things where I'm going to be goofy and, you know, the milk, you guys already pulled it, you know, that probably would have been me. You know, that would, you know, get a good laugh out of that. So it's going to be fun. I always like learning about different cultures. And so this trip is going to be a blast. You're going to, if you're coming on this trip, you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to have a lot of fun and make a lot of good memories.
But I do like, and I know Mike wanted to mention something before you do, Mike, I do like the idea that you said, you know, hey, you got to try it, because I, you know, that's just not in eating. That's also when you're playing a game in positions. I've had guys, you know, who are, they said they're second basemen, right? All of a sudden I put them at third, and pretty good third basemen, and they love it, but they never tried it before. Well, it's the same thing with food. Mike, I know you wanted to jump in.
I was just going to say, Zach, you know, and somehow I ended up losing weight over there, and I ate all the time, but the pizza, you won't ever want to actually eat American pizza again. I'm just telling you.
I agree with you. And folks, on that note, we'll close it off. All the trip I've been on, Mike, you hit it on the button, because the food is more natural. Now, they're getting away a little bit from it, but it's more natural. I've never gained weight when I went 2 weeks in Italy. I've actually lost some weight. Now, you can't always, you know, if you're eating way too much, obviously, but I got a good friend that eats pasta every day. He just doesn't overdo it.
Yeah.
And he stays in pretty good shape. Right, Bill?
I lost 17 pounds in 6 months over there. And, you know, we walk everywhere. Everything's fresh.
Well, if you're telling people that, we're going to start charging for, you know, it's going to be
extra. But let me say this, Pete. I'm going to tell everybody to bring a small jar of Skippy if you really want, because you're going to miss your peanut butter over there. So unless you want to pay through the nose, you know, they give you these little things of peanut butter. I'm going to bring a small jar of Skippy with me because I miss that a lot. So
awesome. Well, hey, listen, I'll start with you, Bill. Thanks for a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Pete.
Great talking tonight. Also looking forward to the trip and want to wish you a great 2021.
Yeah, I appreciate it, buddy. Same to you. I always love talking to you. You know that. And I would be on your show every day if you let me. I'll hound you some more time as we go, though.
I may have to charge you then. You know, right now it's free.
All good.
Michael, same thing, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to this whole group getting together. Obviously, I want to wish you the best 21.
Yeah, I do. I appreciate it. I really appreciate this opportunity. I'm so excited to learn from every single one of you. And again, you know, we learn from the players as well, just as much sometimes. And I'm really excited to go back and explore Italy again.
Zach, you got 6 seconds to say something. No, I'm just kidding. Close it off again, man. You get to close off the show. I can't believe it. The rookie gets to close off the show. Again, wishing you the best 2021. You and all you guys, your families, I hope you have a great 21, and we look forward to being with you in Italy.
I can't wait for this experience. And Pete, it's a pleasure to not only be on your show again, but also to be able to go on this trip. It's going to be an amazing experience, and I'm hoping 2021 is much better than 2020. I have no doubt that is going to be what happens. So I'm super excited for this opportunity. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, that's our Caliendo Sports International coaching staff heading to Italy, July and August. Email us at caliendo19@gmail.com. If you have interest in joining us as a player, we will do our homework. We are looking for particular players. And one of the things that no doubt we have to have, and that is quality people, character people, whether it's players or parents or anybody that goes on the trip, could be relatives. We're going to do our homework because it's important. Just like any other thing, we're building a culture of a good group of people going over there. And the way you build a good culture is by having character people. So we're looking for that. I want to thank Bill Sandillo, Mike Mandarino, and Zach Casto for joining us, our coaching staff, Caliendo Sports International. Folks, stay safe, stay healthy. Remember, do us a favor, subscribe at YouTube, Peter Caliendo, podcast audio. This is going to go up there. Great stuff on practice organization or organizing great practices and fun ones. Go to, I almost forgot my own podcast, baseballoutsidethebox.com. How do you love it? This is a natural show. It's been a long night, folks, but it's been a great one. Thank you in the U.S. Thanks around the world. Thank you to our guests. God bless y'all. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.